Views expressed by Camaplan podcast guests may not reflect those of Camaplan. Camaplan does not guarantee the accuracy of information provided by guests, nor does it endorse or recommend any individual or organization. Camaplan is not an investment advisor, CPA, realtor, or attorney. You are encouraged to conduct your own due diligence before making investment choices. For any tax, legal, accounting, investment, or other questions, please consult a specialist. Hi, I'm Michael Duncan, and welcome back to The Road to Financial Freedom. This podcast is brought to you by Camaplan, a self-directed IRA administrator focused on educating investors on how to grow retirement savings faster through alternative investments. In each episode, we're going to take an in-depth look at the many roads taken to financial freedom and how they differ for each of our guests. Our goal is to help the listeners learn how they can achieve their own financial freedom through the experience and stories of experts that have done just that. Today's guest is a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point and has served as a field artillery officer with rapid deployment units worldwide. He has been a financial professional for over 20 years and has created a trading course that has positioned several of his students to replace their six-figure work incomes and significantly reduce their work hours. He's helped several client partners achieve over five and six-figure incomes in less than 12 months. And I'm very excited to welcome Kevin Jefferson to the show today. Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm well, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm very excited to talk with you, and I'm very excited to learn more about what you do.
Excellent. I'm game. So let's get it on.
Awesome. Well, I would love to start with some of the background about you. But really, I would like you to explain to me, like I'm 5 years old, what exactly Forex trading is.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me, Michael. So basically, Forex trading is where your money is taking a trip, and then when it comes back, you hope that you have more than when you left. So what I tell people, when you're trading currency, you're exchanging your money or your country's currency or whatever for another country's currency, just like when you do take a vacation. So I always use the analogy of Mexico because it's close to us here in Texas. And so, you go to Cancun or wherever you go in Mexico and you trade your dollars for pesos normally before you get there. Right. So, you go in the bank at the airport and you'll see the currency exchange booth there and you can exchange some money. And so you'll get a certain amount of pesos, which is normally more pesos per dollar because that's the exchange rate. And so when you go on your vacation, you enjoy yourself. And then at some point between when you get there and when you come home, you exchange your pesos for dollars. And so in Forex, that's called a round turn, just like you on a vacation took a round trip. And so what we do is exploit the differences in values in different currencies at different points in time, just like the price of a stock in the stock market, except is there's two parties to the asset, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that was actually very well explained for someone like me with the brain of a five-year-old when it comes to this type of stuff. I would love to know more about how you got into this and why, this isn't something I've heard a lot about. Obviously, I'm aware of its existence, I guess, its currency. But how did you get into this? Why did you choose this path?
So I didn't really exactly choose this path. I did when I got out of the military. I actually first went to work for Georgia Pacific. I was in manufacturing in one of their like fast track management programs that they had. And so I'd spent a couple years with them first. But along the way, while I was working for them, I really kind of had an interest in finance. And so I was trying to learn how to become a financial advisor. So, this is back in, the early 2000s or whatever. So the internet was not as robust as it is now. So I'd be in Barnes and Noble, sitting there reading books at the coffee shop about how to become a financial planner, ADV forms, fee only, like all the different nuances, and trying to really just kind of prepare myself. And then one day, coincidentally, it was a couple months after September 11th, 2001. I got a phone call from a headhunter who recruited ex-military officers and NCOs. And so he asked me if I would be, willing to fly up to New Jersey to interview to become a financial advisor with Merrill Lynch. And so for me, that was my opportunity. And I took it and ran with it and became a stockbroker. So really, I entered the industry as a stockbroker, financial advisor, with a large wirehouse, and then eventually went independent and had my own advisory practice. So I didn't really look to become a currency trader, but I did along the way, when I was a financial advisor, I had a client. I always speak to him. His name is Sid Hutchinson, and he was a retired tailor. So he had a tailoring shop, and he sold it to a he told me one day I was at his house, and we were completing some paperwork, and it must have been like after the financial crisis happened, after September 11th, you know, so it's like maybe 2003, 2004. And he said, you know, I've never seen anybody who has a trade that wanted to work who couldn't work, you know. And so that kind of stuck with me. And it stuck with me for a lot of reasons, because as an advisor, I always felt kind of weird that I'd see how people would kind of throw portfolios to other advisors or to management groups or whatever, and really don't have any control over the outcomes, but they're charging this fee on the assets, whether they go up or down. And like, for me, it was like, okay, I'm not knocking the business model. I'm just saying that I would rather have more of an input on that, you know, like, let me be more involved in that process and really exercise some skill, as opposed to just the skill of being able to be a good salesperson. And so for me, I wanted to have a skill set. And I started off reading books about trading stocks. And I just found challenges with that. First of all, just the time factor of like sitting there reading a book and I didn't know what the hell I was looking at, you know, because you're looking at these candlesticks and all this stuff
in there.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, what, this is a foreign language that I'm trying to learn to make money with. And then you've got this whole universe of stocks. And I know technology now is to where you can, you know, you can sort and sift and do different things. So it's a lot easier. But, you know, think about that, like the world, the whole universe. I mean, even if it's only 30,000 stocks that are available, I mean, I don't have that many hours to, you know, invest in. And so anyway, for me, there were some barriers to entry, I guess. That's the bottom line. And so I found myself in a situation to where I was moving back to Texas. And in 2008, before I moved back, I think I was visiting or whatever, but CNBC would always have this thing. I don't know if you heard of it. It was called the Portfolio Challenge. I think that's what it was called. And like, they give you $1 million and you can like invest it how you want to. And at the end of a certain period of time, the highest value portfolio wins $1 million. And so I never won $1 million, but in 2008, they actually added the Forex, FXCM, I think the broker was sponsoring it. And so that you could buy currency. And so I didn't really know much about it, except the euro was like twice as much as the dollar back then. And so I just bought euro. And then I remember when I checked it, it had grown like outlandishly big. It was like a big growth number. And so when I went to see what it was that grew, it was the currency piece. And I had just taken a currency trade unbeknownst to me. And really the crazy part about it was, because I didn't know about it, I was actually super duper probably over leveraged, and I was just grateful that it actually worked out in my favor. Right. but what came of it,
that's how
it works. Right on, you know, so something, I mean, I'll take luck too, you know, so, but what came of it was the intrigue and piquing my interest in what that was and what could actually perform like that. You know, even if I didn't know what it was, I mean, know how to do it. Right. And so, I kind of got on that journey and spent the first couple of years failing, you know, trying to find instruction. It wasn't like the internet is now, is, you know, as much, you know, even maybe to its detriment. There's a lot of information now out about trading, and that's unfortunate sometimes, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff that gets in the water when that happens. But back then, there wasn't really much information at all. So you have to trust the broker, which normally their interests are not aligned with yours. And then you don't know, you know, people are halfway across the world, because most people who trade are not in the United States. And so you're like looking for, you know, people overseas to connect with. And that's how I found out about price action. A guy in New Zealand, I think, had written a book about it. And so I started learning like little nuances about, you know, how the market moved and, you know, just building my confidence, you know, but I still had, you know, essentially lost enough to probably have sent a small child to college, I'm sure. So, but, you know, but it was, but it had my intrigue. And at some point, I did get some formal instruction, and on the other side of that, I saw success and was able to essentially replace what I was making as an advisor, as a trader. And so that, you know, now I can do it. Basically, I can make the income without the clients, you know, and so that was a big thing for me. And it kind of gave me a level of freedom, being that at the time I was single and didn't have any kids. So it was kind of a nice trade off to have my time and to have the resources to, you know, to kind of do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think something you said in there is very important, which is, you know, like,
it kind of just worked out for you. It was, and not to say that you didn't know what you were doing, but like it was very lucky, at least at the beginning. And if that didn't happen, it probably would have put a bad taste in your mouth and you might not have ended up where you are today. But that's so much of the financial industry as a whole, especially when it comes to investing, is timing and luck. Is obviously due diligence and learning and understanding is such a large part of it, but there always is that little bit of luck. Like, look at 2020. Yeah. I mean, how many people could predict that COVID-19 was going to happen? And the impact that was going to have. I mean, that just, there's probably a lot of people that it screwed over and, you know, didn't want to be involved in that stuff ever again because of that. Yeah.
That's a good point. I read a book and one, the author, and it's probably a famous author, but I don't want to say the name of the author because I don't know if it's the right name. So, but they were speaking about all of that, like, you know, the energy that we don't really give, or the reverence that we don't give to dumb luck. You know what I mean? Because like luck kind of can really, for all the preparation, you know, things can go extremely left or extremely right on something that is so seemingly random, you know, and that you can't even, because of what it is, you normally can't even plan for it. Right. And so like in finance, they call those the black swan events, essentially, you know, but, you know, it's really crazy because you still have to prepare. Right. But when you experience something, you know, in, you know, whether it's what you're going through in your life and kind of where you are mentally or whatever, like a thing can affect you, you write totally differently, you know? And I think, but one of the things that I may have had going for me was, I am a little bit stubborn, I think. And so I'm the kind of person that if something is defeating me, I will like make it my business to figure it out, you know? And so, now I would definitely say that if my portfolio had dropped in value by 75%, I probably would be, you're right, I'd be like, screw that. Like, you know, and then, you know, I've been trading for 15 years and then 15 years later, I see people making money in Forex and I'd be pissed off, you know, kind of like Bitcoin. You know, I had the chance to get Bitcoin, and, you know, the guy who, you know, my buddy who told me about it, never got back with me. And I think didn't think anything of it again. And that was about the time when I was trading. So I was kind of in a high risk mode. I was like really trying to figure some stuff out and get some stuff going. And so I know I would have probably put five figures into a Bitcoin and not been mad about it. Right. And then, you know, who knows, I might've had 100 million and we wouldn't be talking today though. I know we wouldn't be talking today.
That's true.
But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a story that I've told on this podcast before. So listeners, if I have, and you've heard it, forgive me, but, I remember in high school, it was my senior year. I took a business class of some sort and with a couple of buddies, and it was very interesting. But the first thing we did every class was someone would bring in an article of something that was happening, and we'd talk about it. And one of the first articles, like, you know, the third class maybe, someone brought in was about Bitcoin, this new thing that people hadn't really heard that much about, had something to do with mining it and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, we'd talk about it every class after that. We'd always do like a little 5-minute segment on Bitcoin because it was the most bizarre thing in the world. No one understood how it worked or what it was doing. And of course, this was before it got nearly as big as it ended up becoming. And meanwhile, every time I see anything about Bitcoin, I'm sitting there and I text my friend who was in that class, who I'm still close with. And I'm like, man, we all could have just went in together and gotten rich. And of course, years later, like I think this was in 2021 or something, I see my teacher from that class just out and about. And, you know, we say hi to each other and he goes, you know, I think every day about that class that we had together and about talking about Bitcoin. And I'm like, man, if I had just invested in it, then I wouldn't be teaching anymore. And it's just like it hurts, but that's the luck part of it. That's the stubbornness. I mean, to be able to invest in this kind of stuff, and it's also the opportunity. You know, like you said, you were in a position where you were single, you didn't have kids. You were able to be more aggressive and a little more risk-taking at the time. And that is such an important part.
Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, that's, you know, the thing about, you know, the 20 plus years that I've been in finance is that, you can literally look at, and this is one of the challenges, I think, sometimes with financial planning. And, you know, obviously AI and algorithms and different things are kind of making it a little bit more realistic, I guess, as far as expectations. But I think that's one of the things that makes it really challenging is you can literally take a scenario and it will not fit anybody the same, you know? And so you're trying to make plans and do different things that there's just too many nuances. So, you know, to try to get to a number and by a date and to do a certain thing, it's very challenging, you know? With people with health issues or with, you know, whatever it is. I mean, it's just, there's just so many things that you can't predict. And so, you know, I think that's what trading does as well, because I think it really is a mirror to oneself. It really allows you to see yourself and see who you are. It allows you to see your relationship with money. And it allows you to see yourself, like your habits and what you think about life. It really, I think like you really, your philosophy really does get played out on the screen, and it's really, kind of can be therapeutic in a way, because it also forces you to take personal responsibility, you know, and reckon with the results, you know, and know that you're the only person who made that move. Nobody forced your hand. Nobody did anything other than what you did allowed to do or didn't do. And so that's, I think, having the approach of realizing that there's a randomness to life. There's a, you know, there's the mere chance of things going wrong, but really getting your mind okay with just getting a process that works for you more times than not. Right. And that's an approach to life as well. Right. I mean, just kind of do what works more for you than not. And then the rest you can't control. And so I think for foreign currency trading and probably trading in general, if, you know, if you ask other traders, the psychological and mental growth that you attain by like going through that process and really, really just being honest with yourself in that process, it really makes you a better person. Honestly, I believe, you know what I mean? Outside of whatever you make financially, you know, in the business, you will walk away, I think, a different version of yourself than you probably even thought possible. So, you know, it's pretty, I think it's something of value in a lot of different ways.
I agree. Very well said. And I'd be remiss to ask if I didn't ask. At Campbell Plan, obviously, we're a self-directed IRA administrator, custodian. Do you ever run into people that are, first of all, I don't even really know a ton about Forex trading as a whole, so I'm not even sure what the possibilities are. But do you ever run into people that are able to invest in this stuff using their retirement funds?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you probably know, most people's largest reserve is either, you know, their home or a retirement account, you know, financially speaking. Yep. And so, yeah, actually, I've done a lot of work with self-directed IRA custodians, outfits over the years. With this asset class, because, you know, it's just, you know, it's been, you know, it's a very creative space. And so it's allowed them to, you know, to go into the asset class. Some custodians have kind of a streamlined process of, you know, going direct and they kind of got it all played out. Some we've actually been, you know, co-architects on what we needed to do to get it done and the agreements and things that go into place. And then honestly, you know, the biggest thing, the easiest path is, you know, that we found is getting, you know, IRA LLCs, you know, and getting a checkbook component to it or something like that. So now you can actually just deploy the assets and in the name of the LLC can actually do the bidding of the trading and all that. And then it's still, you know, an asset of the IRA, which obviously can possibly, I'm not a tax guy, but can possibly have some positive tax consequences for you, you know? So, I'm a big fan of self-directed IRAs and getting people's cash liquid and accessible to do, you know, I mean, I think that's the beauty of the self-directed IRA, in my opinion, is it really aligns with being unconventional, which is definitely what I do, something very unconventional.
And to be clear, listeners, I did not ask him to say any of those things. All the nice things he said were completely of his own accord. There was not an, you know, under the table deal happening prior to recording. I just feel the need to put that out there because you did speak very, very well of it. And it is cool. I think something that you mentioned, which is that it is very unconventional. I think that's spot on. And that's actually, you know, I was sent your information by a third party about having you on this podcast. And I think learning about what you were doing was really why I wanted to have you on, because it is very unconventional. And I find that that's, you know, what a lot of the people that use their self-directed IRAs are investing in, because it is something that not a lot of people know about. And I assume that you run into a very similar situation where not a ton of people know that you can make such strong investments in this asset.
Absolutely. You know, it's being in, like say, in this space for, you know, for as long as I've been, it becomes, you know, I remember somebody saying, I think when, so I have an online course, my business vertical started with an online course and it's self-paced. And then, you know, it comes with mentorship by me and all that stuff. But in the process of creating that course, I remember, or I was doing something, not maybe I'm creating, but some point doing marketing or like, you know, we're doing some marketing stuff. And I remember somebody saying that, you know, your duh is somebody else's aha. Right. And so, I had to really get back into that mindset of that. This is not something that most people know about just because I've known about it for so long. You know, it's kind of like, you know, people just don't know about cash value life insurance or whole life insurance or whatever, just because you know about it. Right. So you're right. There's still a big opportunity. And I work primarily with business owners and entrepreneurs in trying to assist them with the cash flow, you know, goals and adding cash flow without adding, you know, all the stuff that you don't like about being an owner, you know, employee overhead and supply chain or whatever it is that, you know, people have to deal with. And so it aligns with that kind of mindset of a person that says, okay, I'm already a person who is prone to take a risk. So I'm kind of maybe profiling, you know, what I would think would be a demographic that would make sense to work with us, or work in this field, not necessarily with us. And so they say, okay, because I understand the undulations of being a business owner. But then I also understand the pain of financially of, you know, what I call financial purgatory, where you have a business where you may be making a strong six figures a year, but you don't really have the room, even though you stockpile some money, you're kind of like trying to figure out what to do next. And you really want that move to work because, you know, you kind of spent this time getting these resources, you know. And so it's like you're right at that next level, like at the cusp of that next level, and your next move, kind of to your point, can really dictate the trajectory of the next phase, right? And so what we try to do, and because Forex is a leveraged product, whether they're using their own money or, you know, we do some variation thereof, what we're trying to do is get them, you know, an asymmetrical bet in their favor with a relatively small amount of cash, you know. So what I'm talking about is, you know, in the currency market versus the stock market, for instance, you know, a dollar in the stock market, we would agree, has to go up by 100% to become $2, right? So no getting around that. So it, with currency trading, and not that you would use all of the leverage, but by technical and mathematical example, a dollar can literally carry the weight of $100. That's the leverage that a broker gives you and, you know, allows you to trade with. And so if you have the capacity to actually operate with $1 as if it were $100, all that $100 has to do is go up by 1% to get that same dollar return. And so that leverage power is now obviously it can work against you. So that's where risk management and learning how to do it is appropriate. But just the concept of that means that you can collapse time on some level to where now maybe, you know, what you're making in annual returns and other projects, you may be making quarterly, you know, or monthly or whatever, or every 6 months. And so now you're kind of doubling the time of getting to a goal. But along the way, you're actually just creating cash flow from a thing that you didn't have to go and interview, you know, a thing that you didn't have to go and buy, you know, an hour that you didn't have to necessarily invest more, you know, or more money investing and expanding your territory and hoping that the return comes later. So, you know, there's a risk to it for sure. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't be the rewards that they are. But in a grand scheme of things, it's a great way. It's just kind of a great add-on, like that sidecar on a motorcycle. Like, it's a great sidecar to help you create cash flow and help stabilize you and not make you feel, you know, we work with real estate investors a lot of times, and we try to, you know, position them to where their dry powder that they have on the sidelines, they're still earning something on some of it, so that that way, you know, they don't feel compelled to have to go and make a decision because, okay, you made 8% over the last 3 months. So what were you looking to do on this project? Okay, you're looking to maybe make 11 or 12%. So you only need to make up 3 to 4% in gains, you know, to actually equate to what you didn't, you know, what you would have gotten on this deal. So, you know, it's really getting creative with it and using it for a kind of really real planning, you know. And I think that's what kind of keeps me intrigued about it, is that it's not just trading for trading's sake. It's really trading to create the cash flow or the capital to go and deploy it in other things, right? And that's where I think the real value of learning this space or having somebody walk through it with you is very important.
Yeah. I mean, again, very well said, in a way that I could understand it, which is saying something. It's no easy feat. But I have a much better understanding of everything that you just talked about. So thank you for that. But I would love for you to talk a little bit about specifically what you do and like fmtrades.com. You know, you mentioned that it starts with a course, or you started with a course rather. So I would love for you to just talk a little bit about, you know, what you're doing, and especially in this space.
For, yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for that opportunity. So, yeah, so followmytrades.com, short fmtrades.com. Now, we are, our main vertical is DIY trading, do-it-yourself trading. So we teach you through the course, how to basically pull up a chart, read a chart, and basically prepare yourself through a methodology that I created called PPC 13 to take a trade. And then we talk about risk management, and we talk about goal setting, and we talk about mindset, because that's the most important element of trading. And then along the way, you know, we're mentoring you and doing weekly Zoom calls. You know, if, you know, we do something called Money Day School. So Monday nights, once a week, we get on and kind of go live and answer questions. And so that's for people who want to learn how to trade for themselves or somebody in their family, whatever. And that's important, because in this day and age, obviously people have very little time, and so they don't feel the need to do that. But I'm big about empowerment. So but what we have with that membership is actually a component to where we will allow them to attach one account to our master account, and we will copy trades for them so that we can like kind of do some DFY done for you trading. So like if while they're learning, or, you know, or if they haven't started learning, the movements in their account kind of compels them to learn more. Right. And so, you know, whether they're winning more or even if they're losing some, what happens is they're now, it becomes a thing of importance to them. And now they want, in most cases, what happens is people get more intrigued about it and want to actually learn how to trade. And so it's kind of a 1-2 punch in that respect, because a lot of people, with the fear of missing out, they will try to rush that process, and it'll actually probably work against them. You know, so if and trading is definitely one of those things to where you want to avoid feeling compelled to need it to create something today, right? Because if you get into that mode, you start creating things that are not there, and the fear really does, you know, really sink in, you know, false evidence appearing real. It's like you really, really does become a thing. So we help you through that vertical. And then we have the DFY where we will just, you know, it's kind of a flip. You say, well, I want you to trade for me, but the course is still there because it's really two sides of the same coin. And then, you know, we have some different programs. One that we launched to where it's called the OPP, Other Parties Principle. So instead, if you don't want to use all of your own resources, there are funding companies out there that will help you get funded with so that you can actually use their money. So, you know, for instance, you know, maybe if you had $100,000 that you were trying to put in the market in Forex, but instead you could use the $100,000 of somebody else, you know, for a small fraction of the cost. Let's say a tenth of the cost. So, you know, you 10x basically what it would cost you to buy in. And so now, instead of you having $10,000 deployed or as a sunk cost, as opposed to you having $100,000 out there to chance, you have $10,000 that you've committed to getting a $100,000 account, and we kind of help you get there. And so that you can generate income with somebody else's account. So, you know, that's just one of the ways that we do it. But the bottom line is we teach people how to trade, and then in alignment with that, we will do some elements of done for you trading as well.
Awesome. Wow. Again, you have a very nice way of explaining these things that normally would be very over my head. So I know I've said it a few times, but thank you.
No, thank you.
It's helping me understand. And typically, if I can understand, it means the listeners are going to understand as well. Most of them are probably smarter than me. So, and finally, before we get out of here, I do want to ask you the same question I ask everyone that comes on the show. And it's simply, what does financial freedom mean?
Essentially, financial freedom to me means that I am in a place where I do not have to think about money. You know, essentially that's freedom to me. You know, and I could be probably free and mentally not think that, but I think you know when you know, right? And so because now you can really open your mind up to be in the, and it's interesting that you asked that question, because I talked to my members when I started marketing the course. I talked about that being one of the reasons that I was offering the trading teaching people how to trade because I wanted them to have more time to live in what I call the fullness of their humanity. And though I think so, when you attain a level, you know, of financial freedom, and maybe there's levels to it, right? I mean, there's just some point you're out in the universe and status free, and you can't even breathe with that kind of money, you know. But mine is somewhere between heaven and earth, you know. But you know, the ability to not have to focus on that allows me to focus on so much more of who I am than spending those hours trying to get resources. So yeah, I think that's what I would say it means to me.
Couldn't agree more. And now finally, Kevin, could you just, I know you already talked a little bit about your website, but could you just let the listeners know where they can find you, the best way to get in contact with you, all that
kind
of stuff?
Sure. Go to fmtrades.com, FM, like a radio station, trades with an S.com. And then there you can go. We've got social media tags there, so you can go to our Instagram and all that stuff, or, you know, LinkedIn. And I think we have like a Facebook page. We've got some, you know, just information about, you know, the DIY side, the do-it-yourself trading side, what you get. The DFY side, what comes with that as well. And then some podcast stuff that we've done, just kind of get a feel for who I am. And I mean, I'd love to have you, you know, poke around and you can get on there. There's a place to book a visit with me by phone if you want, or by Zoom. If you want to have a conversation with me, you can go there and do that at FM Frank Foxtrot Mike Tango Romeo. I mess it up. Alpha Delta Echo Sierra.com. So FMTrades.com.
Awesome. And that information will be in the description of this episode, so you can feel free to check out there. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a wonderful time. I feel like I learned a lot about something that I was not very familiar with before speaking to you.
Awesome. So it's a pleasure. One more thing, Michael, if you don't mind. I forgot that I'll have it sent to you.
Not at all.
Have our assistant send you a couple coupon codes so that people can get, you know, up to $10,000 off, depending on what way they go with us, off for, you know, listening through the show. And then I'll send you a digital book, kind of about my journey and kind of what's important about Forex for your listeners if they want that as well. All right. Good deal.
Sounds good to me. Awesome. Thank you so much again. And as always, thank you for listening to The Road to Financial Freedom. If you enjoyed the show, please support the podcast by remembering to rate, review, and subscribe. You can keep up to date with us on Facebook or Instagram. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time. If you like what you're hearing on The Road to Financial Freedom and want to learn more about self-directed IRAs and 401ks, click the link in the description to download a free toolkit with everything you need to get started.